You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs Podcast.
Okay, it is episode number 53 of the Mundy Maniacs Podcast. It's me, Kevin, coming to you from Shenzhen, China, and joining me, as always, is Sarah in Akashi, Japan, and PJ in Osaka, Japan. Hey, guys, how you doing?
I see how I've been bumped to third billing. I tell you, Sarah is not only coming for me points-wise, because I see you on the list, girl, and she's moving up. She's moving up like a virus out of control in one's body. Hey, Rena. Anyway, back to the topic. She's taking over. Yeah. She's taking over the podcast and the points in the Kansai.
Okay.
I like her anyway, but I see what's happening.
I was just going to say that on the Zoom screen in front of me, the order, Sarah was next to me, my picture, so I just picked her first, and that's all. But okay, sure, it's part of a larger conspiracy, PJ.
The world's against me, Kevin.
I have a better theory. Think of me like this is like the Oreo cookie. You both are the crunchy part, and I'm the nice cream filling, the part that everyone wants to enjoy first.
I do agree that Kevin is far crunchier than he thinks he is,
and crushier.
That too.
Yes. So I've also been joined by the youngest Munsey player in the house, Sumiko Neko, who I have to add her to the July 9th Osaka list of players who are coming, because she'll come for a little while and do some capping.
Hey, Rena.
Because she'll have a device and access to my Wi-Fi and stuff, so she'll be there for a little while. But yeah.
Awesome.
So here we are, episode number 53, and it's all about updates and what we're doing in Munsey. It's been a while since we recorded. Of course, it's always a while since we recorded. That's the way it works. For me, very little has changed in the world of Munsey, of course, because I still can't get VPNs to work. But on the brighter side of things, I've got about 7 weeks left before I leave China for good, and then I can play Munsey on a regular basis. Yeah, so... guys, how are things with you and Munsey?
Oh, well, Sarah. I guess for me,
it's the same old.
Yeah. Let's leave PJ in the corner, let him play with his filters.
Yeah.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to.
Okay. So yeah, just the same old, same old. Just capping my daily stuff. The other day, or last weekend, I was in Osaka, and so I decided to hit PJ's neighborhood and surprise him with a few greenies. I planted a bunch in his neighborhood so he'd have something to do besides just his daily caps. And so that was fun.
I'm curious because as we may have mentioned before in a previous episode, because I'm unable to play Munsey in any kind of reliable way because I can't access the game due to internet restrictions here in China at the moment, why is it necessary? Oh, which means I'm not in our clan anymore. I've left the clan temporarily. So I basically haven't been doing clan wars for a few months. Why is it viable to have greenies right now? Do you need some?
Oh, yes. Hint, hint, as he winks, winks. Yeah, so everybody who's playing clan this month knows it's still really heavy on greenie caps. And so anything extra?
I think you're over worrying here, Sarah. We are so close to level 4 already. Largely thanks to our Californian players. But nonetheless, we're going to smooth right through to level 4 without even trying, which I'm happy about. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna... But it is greeny heavy. But to me, I think I want to say good on you, old MHQ, because I'm you know me, I love the physical game.
Yep.
And this is a nice, easy way to make encourage, because a lot of players in certain parts of the world are very virtual, and nothing wrong with that. But I mean, it's good to see that MHQ is still pushing the physical game. And I gotta say, bravo on Kobe Z's, because all of these placed in my neighborhood this time were so spot on, accurate map wise. I was a little bit verklempt. I was ready to complain, as I like to do, and I couldn't. There was this one called Blue. What is it? Blue Pole. And I'm looking around. There's no Blue Pole. Gosh darn it. She's done it again. And then I turn around, and right behind me, there's a pole with a little blue stripe. And I go, could that be it? And sure enough, it was right where the map said it was. You know, the only thing PJ hates worse than badly placed Munzees is better placed Munzees, because then I have nothing to complain about.
But you just
well, you know, PJ, your theory, PJ's theory is that I play Munzee much better when I don't have my boys with me, and that's exactly that's spot on.
You can always play Munzee better when you don't have kids with you, because they distract you from the game.
Do you see Rena's face right now, Kevin? She's shocked that you're even suggesting that. Your dear daughter.
So my 9-year-old daughter, almost 10-year-old daughter, is right behind me, listeners, if you're wondering what's going on. And she's putting a blanket over her head and pretending she's a ghost.
A ghost.
Just because she can. But yeah. But yeah, so we know that we can focus more. We don't have to worry about people being hungry, kids needing pee breaks, kids getting grumpy, wanting to go here or there. We can actually just kind of focus on playing the game.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I love you, my daughter. You're great. But
I love you. Just it's much more fun to play Munzee without you.
So what's really cool is that like PJ said, I agree that it's kind of like paying homage to the roots of the game with Clan Wars and really kind of encouraging that physical game. That's what I miss. That's what I can't wait to play. I bumped into my coworker from Belgium, who was one of the few players who was very active for a little while, about 2 years ago here in the city of Shenzhen. And he even lamented. I bumped into him yesterday, walking along. And he said, yeah, I was somewhere, and I just wanted to start up Munzee and start playing. And I tried, but then I couldn't get the VPN to work and I couldn't play it. He said, I'm so disappointed. So he's moving to Taiwan, Taipei. Him and his wife got a job in Taipei. So they're moving there this summer. And he's excited to be able to play in Taiwan because you don't need a VPN in Taiwan.
And there are lots of Munzees in Taipei. It looks like an old map, so he'll have to reinvigorate it. But there are lots of both physicals and virtuals in Taiwan. So
He said he looked at the map and he saw quite a lot there. So he's excited. So I'll have to make sure I give him I'll give him a bag of a bunch of loose Munzees. I've got quite a few still here. That'll give him before he heads off there. So he has, you know, maybe 30 or 40 Munzees or more, whatever I can scrape up for him. That'd be very cool. And I'm excited. I'm really excited about playing the physical game when I get to Japan. I can't wait to just go around and cap stuff. And I can't wait to grow some areas too. And then when I go I'm still not sure what I'm going to be doing for access to the internet when I'm in Canada for 2.5 weeks. I know, like at my Airbnb, I'll have Wi-Fi. When I'm at my brother's house, I'll have Wi-Fi. But what do I do in between? I got to sort that out for playing.
eSIM, Kevin. eSIM.
Yes. eSIMs.
Yeah.
Much cheaper than renting a dongle or a.
Well, I decided I am going to get a pocket Wi-Fi for my time in Japan, just because I'm such a heavy data user. Like I'm obsessed.
Yeah, but. I really think you should think about that. Although, or talk to John, someone we'll talk about later in the podcast, because he rented one at a very good price. So it is doable. So you should talk to him as an option. I'm a big believer in if you have an eSIM, which I believe your model does, you can get a short-term plan. That'll give you all the data you can use, virtually unlimited data and calls and everything, without having to worry about one extra device to tug around and charge.
Okay, cool. Oh, and we made the decision. I am going to be upgrading to I've got an iPhone 11 here. I'm buying a 14 in Japan. So,
oh, well, then both of those do the eSIM. So you'll be good 14, to go.
My wife just got upgraded, so we're gonna do a lot of upgrading. We looked at the prices. It's cheaper to buy them in Japan than it is Canada.
Yeah.
And because of the inflation and taxes in Canada. And then there's more of a chance that it will be a real iPhone if I buy it there as opposed to here. but yeah. Okay. So there we go. So yeah, PJ, speaking of, you've been meeting people who we'll talk about later. Let's talk about those people now. What have you been up to? I know you've been up to some stuff, but tell us about your weekend in Munzee.
Well, I'm always up to some stuff, but
yeah, we know.
in this case, this adventure was a friend of Kevin who introduced him to me. Mm-hmm. His name is John Esper, I believe, is his account name.
Yes,
he has family in Japan, so he used to come back quite regularly to the country. But COVID and all, it's been a while. So
yeah.
This was my first time to meet him in person. We've been chatting on the interwebs now for 1,000 years, I think.
Yeah.
So he suggested that we go up to Arima, which is a hot springs town. For those of you who are listening who are not in a hot springs country, let me just explain it. We're on the Ring of Fire. There's lava just below our feet at any one time. You know, it's dangerous, except not. But anyway, Japan has thousands and thousands of hot springs that people like to take a soak in. I believe they do the same thing in Europe or parts of Europe as well.
Yeah.
In any case, so he suggested Arima, and what is that note? Your daughter's shaking her finger at me. No, that's bad. I don't know what that's all about. In any case.
Ignore her.
We went to Arima. Now, he's a big hiker like you, Kevin. So his original plan was the 7-hour hike up. And then that we could enjoy the hot springs, which apparently Sumineko is against, apparently. I'm not a big hiker, as you know, or I'm a walker, but I'm an urban walker.
Yeah.
I like flat paved areas. So he relented.
Where there's a consistent number of Family Marts and 7-Elevens in between.
Exactly.
And some convenience. Yeah.
We had to change trains like 4 or 5 times to get up there. It's not that geographically as the crow throws. It's not far from Kobe at all, but it is a bunch of train changes. In any case, we got up there and it was raining and I wanted to cancel. And John said, no, the rain's a good thing. The muggles will be away. We'll be able to, you know, the town will be nearly empty. And he was right. There were very few people up there. And frankly, it only rained in the middle of our walkabout. So it wasn't too bad at all. And I haven't been to Arima in maybe 15 years. I don't know exactly, but it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was lovely. We took the train up, and there were already some Munzees. A fellow player, one of the Yao players, had some already up in the area, some of which we were able to get. And we planted a bunch of physicals and some virtuals as well. What he wanted to do, and this is a cute story, at the top of the mountain, the town of Arima is in a little bit of a valley,
okay,
or a cul-de-sac, really, of mountains. But a cul-de-sac of mountains, is that a thing? I don't know, but it sounds like it.
No, I've never heard the cul-de-sac.
But instantly you understand what I mean, so nonetheless, it works. In any case, there's a hill/mountain at one end, and there's a very old shrine. It's more than 1,000 years old, and it's on the top of the mountain, and he wanted to go all the way up, and we did, and it started raining again, and just as we were climbing the 250, I don't know, stairs up the mountain to the top, and we get up there, and, you know, you've both been in countryside shrines before. They're largely empty and you don't expect much in the way of action or things to do. It's the main shrine, which is in multiple levels as they often were in the countryside in the hills. And we're just looking at it, starting to rain. And we sit down for a moment to try to catch our breath before the descent down. And the Kanushi, the priest, which many of these old ones are unstaffed. But there's a house a little bit farther away from the shrine. And apparently he was there because he comes out, and this really old guy, I mean, he was 82. And he comes, starts coming out as he's shouting, bah, 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 yeah, and I'm in the rain, we can't hear him. And he looks angry at first, but he gets closer to us. And it turns out he's saying, why are you sitting in the rain or something like that? And, oh, you've got to come in with us. And we're saying, oh, sorry, like maybe we're sitting in the wrong area, which we weren't. But in any case, he's going, why are you sitting in the rain? Come on inside. And we're going, oh, we don't want to go inside. But, you know, you can't really say no to an old man. And, so he just follow me, and he trances back to his house / shrine office, of which the office is the door to the office is guarded by a chicken in a cage. And by the way, he loves this chicken because there were pictures all over his house of it. But in any case, so he invites us in and says it's raining, it's very cold. Why don't you come into the office, kind of. Living room area, and he says, just have a seat and I'll make you some tea. And he makes us some yuzu or citrus, Japanese citrus tea, and we're just sipping there for 20 minutes, and you know, he's chatting a little bit with us here and there. Doesn't speak a lot of English, but you know, between our Japanese and the two of us and his English, we're just chatting a bit. It turns out he's 82 years old. His wife passed away, I think, a decade or two ago. It was unclear. I couldn't quite get that part. But his family has been the shrine custodians for, John's going to kill me now. Was it 15 generations? Oh, but I'm now forgetting, but it was like a lot. Enough so I had to go, what?
Wow.
You know, so 15 generations, I think, and they've been up there, way up there. And I mean, it's up there. This is up at their very edge of the town, which is already on a hill to begin with. And then you've got to climb this mountain. They had a little rail next to the stone stairs that he brought supplies up with, a little electric gas motor sled that would move on a rail and it could bring things up. Anyway, so he gives us his tea and we're in his home. He's very nice. And John mentions to him that he was collecting goshuin, which are the kind of the stamps that people get when they go to shrines and temples in Japan. Yeah. A lot of people collect them, young and old, foreigners, Japanese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he asked if he could get one while he's there. And this guy, his eyes lit up and he got super excited. And so there's their hand drawn. So they put this Chinese stamps. And then they calligraphy, they hand draw a message and the date and the name of the shrine. And then so he asked, well, would your friend, your hairless friend, want one? And, no, he didn't say that part, but I imagined it. And I said, well, I don't collect goshuin, but he looked heart stricken. So I said, yes, please. And for a few bucks, he did ours and gave us good luck charm. And again, we had tea there. Very nice. But then when all that was done, we excused ourselves and thought we'd let him get back to...
And you stuck a munzee on his chicken.
He did not. One, it's a chicken. But two, you know, it's fun. I feel bad. I didn't think to ask to get a picture with him because it was just such one of those travel story moments you have. And it was really charming. He was very friendly. And then by the time we left, the rain had kind of
receded, yeah.
And then we walked down the 250-some stairs. I don't know how many there were. And that just gets you to the road, and then you still got to go down. So, on our way down, then we stopped in a hot spring. There are many in the city, town. Eight types, apparently, but sure many more than eight, but eight types. We stopped in the kind that had radium in the water. It supposedly is good for you. I can't see how that it would be, but I just love a good onsen soak. I know, yeah, Rena's doing the bad gesture, but I'm an old man, Rena, and I enjoy a soak in hot water. And it's nice because, you know, Arima is a tourist town and they're very used to foreigners. So no one was, ooh, there are foreigners coming in kind of thing. They were quite, it was smooth as silk. And we had a very lovely time. And then we went down and that was it. It was a great day. But, you know, it's one of the things that I wouldn't do for myself. It had to take someone else to it. You know, I love hot springs, but, you know, when you live in a place, you maybe don't do the tour more, you know, tourist focused activities. And it was nice. I haven't been up there in ages. And we had a very good time. And we did litter the place with physicals and a few virtuals as well. So to get us back on the Munzee track, you know, that's just one more town and one more area. Kobe is already sick with them. But to get the areas north of Kobe with some as well. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this in just a second, but the tourists are back in force in Japan. They're everywhere. And a surprising number of Munzee players are about, I'd say at least one or two a week, we see a new or a reoccurring visitor that's hitting the Munzee trail. And after all these years where the three of us and many other players, particularly another five or six hardcore players, put down hundreds, if not thousands, to see new people capping them. It's really kind of a joy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And no, it's exciting. Mm. It really is. I mean, I'm not even in Japan now, but when I look at my Munzee activity, and I see that, like, I saw the other day that someone had capped a virtual I put on Nagoya Castle in Nagoya. I forgot I'd even done that or why I had done. And I was like, well, that's so cool. I found that neat because, again, no one was playing. I mean, there was, like, as you said, there was just like a core group of Japan-based players who were playing, but no one could come into the country. So seeing regularly, consistently people capping things is who are unfamiliar names, who we know are traveling, is really cool.
And I have to say, there's more than I thought there would be. I didn't think there were that many active Munzee players that traveled abroad, but there are, because we're seeing at least one or two a week.
Yep.
Which is nice because the Osaka isn't, you know, most of the, you know, half the tourists are going to Tokyo. So to see so many in the Kansai area hitting Osaka and Kyoto and Kobe and parts in between, it's really nice.
Yeah, that is very cool. That is very cool. I saw that. I read an article in the South China Morning Press, I think it's called, a Hong Kong newspaper, that Japan is already becoming overwhelmed with tourists, and the Chinese tourists haven't really even just started to descend yet. So here much to the joy of some people, you know, people who are businesses and stuff, but much to the chagrin of others in Japan after 3 years of borders closed and it being a very quiet time. A lot of people are pretty unhappy with the deluge of tourism, but
you know, I work in Kyoto on Fridays, and the last 2 years have been a blessing. Trains are empty, temples and shrines are open. You can walk around the town, because not only was foreign tourism stopped, but domestic tourism was greatly discouraged for a while anyway. And for those of us who live and work in Kyoto and places around, it was so lovely. I mean, it was hard on the city. They needed the money. They needed the tax dollars as well as the income from people there. So it's great for the city. It is great for Japan, but it is shocking to there's so many suitcases on the train now in the morning, and you're just thinking, and there's kind of like, it seems like there's a rush of people because for 2.5 years we were closed.
Yeah.
Everybody's now back with a passion, and commuting in the morning on the rush hour train with tourists on board is not pleasant, because they mean well, but, you know, tourists are about, oh, I don't know where to go kind of thing, you know, with suitcases and not knowing how to get around. So it makes commuting difficult, but it is so good for the economy. And it's, again, as a Munzee player, it's so nice to see I've never seen. That when they click on it, I click on their account and see where they're from, and you know, it's interesting. It's interesting.
No, it is really interesting to see where they're coming from. Are they from Europe? Are they a Canadian player, an American player? You know, where are they coming from? Were they some other countries, you know, before there? Where is their kind of base of operations? You can get all that by looking at the history, and that's it's fun to sleuth and see what's up with that. Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm personally trying to just get what I can. I deployed a whole bunch of cards yesterday because it's Double Point weekend to members of the clan. You know, PJ, you were saying, why don't you just deploy to events? Well, because I mentioned to you guys in a little group we have on WhatsApp that because I'm not in clan and because I can very rarely play, it's so inconsistent because of the VPN situation. I'm not really out for the points, so I'm just happy to throw points at people who need points and just give you guys something to do. I know, Sarah, your map is, you know, if you're in Akashi, you've got everything around there, so it's fun to throw a bunch of cards your way. So you've got some, I know you're going out walking with your dogs anyway at night, but now you've got some more goals and things to go to get and stuff. Yeah.
Except I know, Kevin, let's show the evil side of Kevin. He puts them. He knows you're gonna have to walk. He doesn't put them within radius of your house that you can from the comfort of your bed while drinking whiskey. Pop them. No. He puts them just beyond. So you've got to walk like 200 yards from your house. And I know there's a smile on his face when I cap them because he's going, hee-hee-hee. I made PJ get out of his grumpy curmudgeon bed and get out of the house and into the sun. And I did it, sir. I did it.
You did it to me too, PJ.
but I put them close to your house. You could, I figured they were along the dog walking path.
Yes, so that's true.
I definitely try to space them out so you can't cap one. I try so like once you're within range of one card, you still can't get the other. You got to walk further.
Evil Sarah put them in a line, so you get two from my house and go. Well, the third one's just beyond, and she did like five or six in a line.
No, Ella line.
I did that for you one time before. I got to do it again. I put a whole trail along the river by you, PJ, and across the bridge. Yeah.
But those were physical. Those were right before you left, right? Because those I got.
I think I've done that before with cards, too, but... shame on me for not allowing you to cap from within the comfort of your bed with whiskey in hand.
No, it's not that I don't appreciate it, because I do, but I know that you take an extra bit of joy in knowing that, like, that park north of me, you don't just even place them in the park. You place them at the northern edge of the park because you know I'm going to have to walk over there and get them. And I did, but I just want you to know that I know that what you're doing. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, and I'm not going to keep on doing it, and I'm not changing. Yeah, you
He's
were
watching just, both of us, Pete.
The last episode, you were just bragging about all the steps you're getting every day and how much you're trying to walk more. I'm helping.
But now I'm teaching. The vacation's over. Real life is back.
Oh, real life can still involve walking.
What is that she's doing? I tell you, you know, the listeners are not seeing this, but I'm being harassed by a nine, almost 10-year-old girl who's constantly, trolling this podcast by making gestures that no one else can see. And they think I'm a crazy old man for reacting to what they cannot see.
There we go. You know what? At least, you know what? You're not letting Rob down today, PJ, with that tirade that just happened here. Rob, if you're listening, there you go.
Someone's got to be the curmudgeon. I got to make Kevin look good.
See the term?
Oh. Now you can hear her laugh. So you know that at least Rena is real and I'm not making this up. She's not a figment of my imagination.
No, that's just my laugh, everyone.
You do have a girlish laugh for sure. What are you doing? Sarah, you look so focused. What are you doing?
On your phone? What's going on?
I think that's what she's doing.
Are you playing Munzee while we're... Are you researching the play?
Actually, I was looking at the points of how many points I need to before I can pass... PJ.
Wow. Hey, audience, you heard it here. She's coming for me. Coming for me hard. And if you look at our on the, you know, if you're a premium member and you've got the all the stat options, and if you look at her curve and my curve, she's still below me by about 2 million or so, but yeah, her curve is higher. And you see where it's going.
Well, here's the thing is PJ needs some motivation. And if I'm the motivation to keep him going, then let it be.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're doing this for charity and decency, I'm sure.
All of a sudden, you're going to see in the next week, like five more tree houses appear in the neighborhood of Okubo and Akashi. Like, oh, wait, there's a lot of skylands and tree houses appearing.
Yeah. Hey, it's hard to beat me on that because as a part-time worker at three or four different locations, I'm littered. It took several years to... What are you doing, Rena? I tell you, she's just... She's trolling me. Anyway, back to the thing. I've got it. On the destination front, I am very well equipped, very well endowed. I'm off the topic. My point is that it took a lot to get, but on a good day, I can get 9,000-10,000 points without ever deviating from my normal path.
Mm.
And that's been
what I found too. On the days that I can take the train, I do much better than I do on the days that I have to drive to school. So,
and we should explain this. Crazy Sarah had this idea. She was going to litter the line between where she lives and where she works. And there, it's so chock full that you can't squeeze anything in there. And the beauty of bouncers is that even once you've capped them, they still, you know, still come alive. Mm. So it really did pay off for anyone. And I travel the line quite regularly myself. So I am the largesse of her craziness. Nonetheless, I remember when she started doing it, I'm thinking, what are you doing? Because that area is really bad with the GPS repeaters. Yeah. And it is a source of stress. The other day, I was going down there for Kobe for physical therapy, and from Osaka all the way to San Diego, the whole way the GPS wouldn't work.
Yep.
Okay.
And I mean, I couldn't get a single one. And there's now a lamb in the camera. You should take a picture of this, Kevin, to prove that I'm not crazy.
Hey, where's that lamb? We'll put that right there.
But the point is that Sarah is occasionally correct. And on this one, she was spot on because it's just, again, we have another player in the South, in Yao. He does the same thing. And if you travel them regularly, it's probably the same in North America. The difference is when you drive, you're limited to how much you can get. Whereas if you're sitting on public transportation, it's only up to the Wi-Fi and the quality of the signal. But yeah. I mean, there are days that I get 9,000-10,000 points just commuting.
Oh, really?
Mm. I mean, it took a lot over time to do, but it's kind of sad because remember the days when we were playing, Kevin, when I first introduced you to the game, and we get excited when you got 1,000 points that day.
Yeah, right.
I remember the day I hit 1,000 points. I thought I'd like. I thought I hit the lottery.
You get the 5,000 points in one day badge. That was amazing. 5,000 points in one day. Oh, my God.
What is it? I really wish I could go back in time and get that pie, the 314 badge. Oh, I'll never get 114 points. I get that on cap-ons before I wake up in the morning. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, by the way, double points has gone crazy. I got 20,000 points today just on cap-ons.
Nice.
So... Yeah, and I didn't go crazy. I only put one or two cards at the events, and one or two jewels at the really large events, and it's paying off big time.
Nice.
So, thanks to Sarah. For those of you who are maybe new to the podcast, she is the librarian and manager of both the clan, the podcast, and generally Kevin and I. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And I don't always do everything she says, but it's good to know that that's coming. Because I don't need to keep track of anything anymore because she just reminds us a few days out. And she did this time, like on early last week, Monday or Tuesday, she said, next week, double points, ghouls and cars.
Because she actually reads the blog, right?
She reads it in detail and explores every little. She finesses the details, which I read them, but I, you know, the details go in and out of my head, and she's got it.
Speaking of which, PJ, don't forget to deploy your carrot in the next week or so.
No, I don't have it yet. It'll come on the 18th, is it?
Oh, you don't have any extras? Okay.
No, I blew my. I only had 3 carrots, and I blew them last month.
And okay.
Premium members get it on the 18th of each month.
Yep.
So yeah, I will put it out as soon as I get it because that's the only thing that I think we're missing.
See, I didn't even realize I had all those carrots until they became an issue, because a requirement for clan. And I'm like, oh, I've got a ton of carrots.
So you have impulse control. You know me, I blow them all. I had 4 carrots, but I had 3 or 4 carrots, and I blew them all last month just because we needed one. That's what I do. You know me, I don't like this strategic withholding.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why we have Kobe Z's to tell us what to do. Or not tell us what to do, but to kindly, gently guide us in the right direction.
That's why I'm the cream in the middle of the yummy Oreo.
There we go. The crusty Oreo.
Crunchy, crusty Oreo.
We notice, it's been really cool, as we mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast, that MHQ has started mentioning more and pushing a little bit more about the event we've got happening in Japan on July 9th this summer, the big Osaka event at Osaka Castle Park on Sunday the 9th. So for those of you out there who may be coming to Japan, we hope you do, or, you know, just it'll be cool. For anyone who might be listening who is in Japan, hopefully I can, you know, when I'm in there, I can get a couple of people interested in the game during my month in Japan. It'd be great to see who's coming out to that event. It's going to be great. That park is littered with things that Kai and I haven't gotten and Rena wouldn't have. So I don't know if I should be going there and capping before the event. I'm sure I'll be going there. Obviously, I'll be in Osaka. I'm going to be like my Airbnb is about a 15-minute walk away from Osaka Jokoen. So I'll be... I'm sure I'll be capping a lot of the stuff beforehand anyway.
I think Esper's hitting it this week, John, because he's in town. So he's not going to be here for the event. So he's going to there's already a lot there.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, Sarah's garden, which is this cute little taco, which is a little baby octopus. And I'm so proud of myself because I go by there 4 times a week. And I do not cap it because I'm waiting. I think you're missing one. Someone hasn't put in 1 or 2 or is empty. I refuse to cap it until it's complete. So because I want to see the picture as it was designed. It's so tempting because it literally is on the edge of the train that I commute with 3 days a week, 4 days a week, and I want to cap it, but I don't.
I was noticing though, PJ. I know that you go by there several times a week, but you haven't capped the POI yet either. You should just cap that.
Which POI?
Because Carson put the POI for the garden.
Yeah, but I don't want to cap that until the event.
Okay. I was like, because that one you can cap every single day.
You know, you're right. But it just, again, there are so many POIs between my place and my workplaces that I just wanted it to be pristine. But you're right. The POI is different, and there's no reason not to cap it logically. You're right. I'll cap it tomorrow. I've got work at the university in East Osaka anyway, so I'll cap it tomorrow. But you're right. I wasn't thinking, but I just wanted – I did. It's such a cute little design that I wanted to leave it untouched until I got all of it. But you're right. The POI, it's meaningless because it refreshes every day. So
exactly.
It's not very bright. That's why he needs Kobe Z's to explain things.
Exactly, Kobe Z's. Yes.
Kobe Z's.
All right, guys. I'm gonna cut this one off because we have to. My son, Batman Kai, has to do a little interview with his grandmother for a middle school history project he's doing, or a biography about his grandpa. So we gotta get that going on soon because it's almost 8 a.m. where my mom lives in Canada. So it's been awesome catching up with you. Rina Sumiko Neko has been here the whole time as part of the podcast crew. Hey, hold on, Rina. We'll get you in a photo here.
You know, as soon as you said that, she's out.
Okay.
Come on, Rina Bina.
Rina, do you want to say something so the audience doesn't think we're crazy? She's now doing the Connie crab tweezer thing and thing.
Okay, guys. So check out the show notes to find all the links for us. Check out one thing I encourage. We should be all more active on it, but the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group. Go check that out. And July 9th on the calendar, check out the Munzee event calendar. The Osaka, Japan Bash, Summer Bash will be happening. It's at a fantastic location to visit. If you've never been to Japan, you definitely want to go to Osaka and Osaka Castle. And it's a beautiful, gorgeous, huge park that's going to be filled with just butt tons of Munzees.
And that is a technical a weight classification.
Weights and measures.
Yes. Butt tons.
A butt ton. Yeah.
And may I say, if anyone chooses to visit us, I am offering a tour of a sashimi tour or raw protein tour, I should say, because we're going to hit horse and we're going to hit chicken too.
That's right.
So anyone,
you get to hang in. I don't know if I'm going to consume any of that stuff, but I'll come along and watch.
Oh, you really? But you haven't had chicken sashimi. You haven't lived.
Come and hang out with us. I don't know, man. I've had salmonella a few times. Not in Japan.
Not in Japan.
That is true. Not in Japan. But
sick if you eat.
Yeah.
Raw meat.
Won't you get sick if you eat raw meat? Exactly. She just said, won't you get sick if you eat raw meat?
No, not in Japan, dear.
No.
We could give her the history that Japan classifies proteins into sashimi grade and regular grade, but I think her eyes are already rolling over right now. So I'll stop right now. But the point is, I've been eating chicken sashimi and horse sashimi, basashi, for years and never ever been ill. And of course, there's fish for the squeamish. We can go back to fish.
Okay.
The point is, guys, please come and visit us on July 9th. And if you can't come, drop a bunch of cards and virtuals and share your love.
We'll be definitely pushing us and promoting it before as we get closer. All right. Well, PJ and Sarah, it was awesome talking to you guys again. Everyone out there, follow or come and join the Facebook group, Munzee Maniacs Facebook group. And have fun playing Munzee, everyone. Munzee on and that stuff.
Munzee on.
Okay.
Mandian Sumiko Neko.